1 Samuel 17. Now we're talking about David is on the scene. All right, David is on the scene. We're introduced to David. David was anointed king of Israel by Samuel. Okay, and of course, who's still on the throne?
Saul.
God hadn't got rid of Saul yet. Now we have Saul's covenant with God. Saul had a covenant with God that was called what kind of covenant?
A conditional covenant.
And then God makes a covenant with David. And that's an unconditional covenant. Did you know that long before that, and even the book of Genesis, that God said that there would be a king on the throne of Israel that would last forever and ever? That covenant was going to be unconditional, and David was going to be the king. God would have probably put David on the throne of Israel regardless. But they had to have a king right then, and they asked for him, and God gave it to him. Gave it to them. Saul. God had already prophesied in the book of Genesis that there was going to be a king on the throne of Israel. We know that. How many of you knew that? How many of you knew that in the book of Genesis, God said that there would be a king in Israel?
I've never read it. I've read it several times.
All right.
But I don't remember reading it.
Yeah, it's there.
He told Jacob.
Yeah, he told Jacob that. Mm-hmm. Jacob. All right. He would be the lion of the tribe of Judah. Of course, in Revelation, I think it's the fifth chapter there, it talks about the root of Jesse. All right. And all of this, and the lion of the tribe of Judah, and of course it's describing Jesus. Jesus was going to be the eternal king. All right? But now, the first thing in the Bible that we find about is David fighting a giant, a gigantes. All right? A giant. All right? And they were called Nephilim. The Nephilim. All right? The Nephilim. What does Nephilim mean? Nephilim.
A period of giants, isn't it?
Okay, what does Nephilim mean? Are you Hebrew scholars? Nephilim. Nephilim. The fallen ones. The fallen ones. That's what it literally means, the fallen ones. And, of course, Genesis, the sixth chapter, all right, describes that. And we're going to go back and look at that in a minute. We're talking about giants of the Bible. The giants of the Bible, okay? Now let's go back and go back to Genesis, the sixth chapter also, but we're going to be in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and verse number 4. I'm going to read this, and someone go back here in Genesis, the sixth chapter. And then the champion came out of the armies of the Philistines. His name was Goliath from Gath, whose height was 9'4". Let's get it in modern English, okay? He's 9'4" tall. Let's quit the quibbits. The cubit things. And I had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 141 pounds. In modern English. Okay? 141 and a half pounds, actually. That's how much his helmet and the mail that came down off of the helmet weighed 141 pounds. All right? And he also had bronze greaves on his legs or armor, and bronze javelin slung between his shoulders, and a shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of the spear weighed 17 pounds in modern English. Okay, 17 pounds. That's a pretty... Now, you could throw something like that through a man easily, couldn't you? With a 17-pound spearhead, if you're strong enough to do it. Yeah, I would. 17 pounds, spearhead.
No.
This guy was throwing this. I remember when I was young and was still a human being, before I got old, I came from Nevada up there. Well, up in Nevada, you know, I grew up in Nevada quite a bit of time. And when I came back to California, they were having Olympics. What do you call Olympics? Track and stuff like that. I could get out and run like a wild horse. I could just run off and leave those guys and all that stuff. And they came out there to the shot putting business. And they had this. How much does your shot put weigh?
Well, it depends on the classroom. It was like 9 to 12 pounds.
Okay, well, it was a shot put. It was this heavy ball. And they said, now get up here and throw that thing. I just looked at that thing like that. I backed off and I threw that thing and went out there past what the record was. And they said, you can't do that.
You threw it like this?
I threw it like a ball. I just threw it like a ball. Whale. Well, I mean, zoom. I was in the sixth grade. I was 6 foot tall. Yeah. That's when I hated football. When they made me get out there and play football, I hated that game. I liked baseball. Didn't care anything about football. Well, anyway, this spearhead weighed 17 pounds. His armor, his helmet, and his mail that came down off the armor was 141 pounds. That's heavy. That's like carrying a 1.5 sacks of 100-pound feed on your head all the time. But he was strong. Didn't bother him. He was just carrying it like nothing. This guy's 9'4" tall. All right. And he stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, why do you come out to draw in battle array? Am I not the Philistine? You servants of Saul, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down and meet me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our slaves and you will serve us. Okay? And again the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. All right? And of course, Saul was afraid. Okay? And then we have this David. David comes onto the scene later, a little bit further down the line. And but let's go back now and let's look and see what the Bible has got to say about giants, who the giants were. Okay, the Nephilim. Now the Nephilim, let's go back to Genesis 6 and verse 1. Okay, Genesis 6 and verse 1, and we're going to read down through there till about verse 10 or so. Six and verse one. Are you over there, Bill? What's your wife's name?
Joanne.
You did remember that, didn't you? I don't even remember my own name. Joanne.
When the human population began to grow rapidly on the earth, the sons of God saw the beautiful women of the human race and took any they wanted as their wives.
Okay, the sons of God there, all of the Jewish commentators say that is what?
Nephilim.
The Nephilim. Okay, but they say that those are angels. Those are angels. All the Jewish commentators say those are angels. Okay? Now, the Old Testament is a Jewish book, isn't it? All right? So they all say that that's who it is. Brother Lee, I was waiting for you. do you want to come up here and tell us a little bit about Costa Rica, the rich coast? Okay.
No, not yet.
Weren't you there before?
No, not in Haiti.
Didn't we have somebody in our class from Haiti, I thought?
I don't know. I've been in El Salvador and Guatemala and all through Central America, but I've never been in Haiti. Had an opportunity to go to Costa Rica last week, and so we went there. And we just hit the streets and we started a church from scratch. Nobody's in the church now, or wasn't then. And so we just started preaching out in the streets and getting people. And then at the end of the week, we had a banquet for the people that made decisions. And we had 26 people of the new church that showed up. And so that's hopefully we going strong in the near future. And so that's what we do. We just go out there. We just hit the streets. And we pass out little tracts that say, the big question. And the big question is, where will you spend eternity? We don't get into a lot of dialogue with people. We're just proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ to them, that they can accept the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we ask people to make decisions. And so it's really, really successful in going out there and talking to people. You know, because we don't get into a lot of doctrinal issues usually, because people aren't saved, and so they don't know anything, and so we're just out there proclaiming to them the gospel and how they can get saved, and then we direct them to the church, and everybody that makes the decisions there's follow up on. So there's no we try to eliminate anyone from falling through the cracks. So everybody that we talk to, then has a follow-up, and it's quite a blessing to be involved in something like that.
How many decisions did you have?
We had 567 professions of faith. Mm-hmm. And
then you had
26 people that showed up on that Friday in a building that we had a banquet at.
To actually build a church.
To start the people. And the one that started the church over there is a used to go to the church there in Costa Rica, and then he went to El Salvador for 5 years, and now he's coming back to Costa Rica to start his own church. He was a music minister, and he lost his voice, and so hopefully that'll all come back here in the near future. And so that's what we did down there. We just went out there and we started the church from nothing, and we just went out there and we proclaimed the gospel to people. People are very receptive and accepting Jesus as their Savior. You know, and so we would hit the neighborhoods in the afternoons, and a lot of times people want to answer their doors, and so we'd catch about 1 in 10 people that would answer their doors. And then at nights we'd go to the park, so we'd show films, and we would have someone present a gospel message to the people and ask them to make decisions. And it's a tremendously rewarding experience to be involved in something like that. Is there any questions anybody might have? For?
Just one of the people that leave their family and they, you know, go to a new faith in this case?
No. No, because people are just lost. There's no stigma with them belonging to something else.
Oh, and so they're just out there wondering.
Yeah, there's never any problems with anybody being, well, maybe there is, but you know.
Never ran into a lot of them.
No, it's, you know, we just go out there, we just talk to people one on one, and if they make professions of faith, then we encourage them to be part of Christ's body and join a church, and put their gifts to work for God.
They do the sinner's prayer and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you had 28 people that actually, out of this number, that actually...
26. 26 people.
26 people that really committed to join the church. Who came... to go deal with the others that you...
Right. Everyone that made a profession will get a follow-up visit from a group of people. Right.
That's good.
And so...
it's good to build churches.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle doing something like that, but the rewards are really incredible, especially when the other members of the church will go out there and do the same things that we did. And so it's a wonderful experience. Yeah.
Do they give you protection down there?
No, not in Costa Rica. There hasn't been any major wars in Costa Rica, so there's not a lot of violence. But there's some. One night when we were out in we were showing the film in front of a church, our bus was robbed. Our bus driver was robbed.
There's outlaws down there.
Yeah, there was 4 guys that came in there and took everything he had outside of the church. But other than that, I really never thought that we were ever in really any danger or anything.
Well, there's a lot of revolution and stuff. Costa Rica isn't that way.
Right, in El Salvador and Guatemala and in Honduras and in
Nicaragua.
There's a lot of violence there. There's a lot of poor, very, very poor. Yeah, and people have guns, and people aren't scared to use them.
And Costa Rica, the people is not as poor as in Nicaragua.
No, they're not as poor. Their people are pretty well off, or some of them are. And so there's not that poverty, and so the crime isn't as high. But if you go to El Salvador or some of those other places, yeah, there's a chance, you know, that you'll get robbed. I mean, there's always a chance. But I've never had any problems.
It could happen here.
Yeah, it could happen here just as easily. Right. Right.
They're gonna rob our church here before. So.
Right, and so there hasn't been any problems in Costa Rica as far as that goes.
So you got one more church down there.
So there's a church starting now from an extension of the church in El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And so yeah.
What does it cost you, like, for a plane ticket to go down and help out?
I think for the plane ticket it was like about $400.
Oh,
Round trip, yeah, 400 or 500. And
they can, you can, we have ministries going all over like that, you know, in different places. There's almost like one every 2 or 3 months someplace.
Right, right.
Yeah, so if you're interested in that.
Right. And then my hotel room was $175 for a week. So that was really reasonable. And so...
pretty good hotel room.
It was okay. I survived. You know. Well,
we thank you for coming.
All right.
Being our representative today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I want to share a little bit of missionary experience. Sister Andino knows what I'm talking about, because she knows the people, and my pencils and stuff are all not here. I don't have anything. Anyway, I was going to write a name on the blackboard. We're talking about giants. We're going to go back to that in just a minute. But I want to share this. I support a ministry in the Solomon Islands every month that I possibly can. I believe in that. I had a friend that I knew. His name's Neil Morley, and he's still alive. He's very old, but he's still going. And we got the meeting right after Marilyn and I got married. We went up to a church camp up at Tehachapi, and Neil Morley was up there and some of the people. And so she met him. Neil Morley went into the Solomon Islands. And not Guadalcanal, but there in the Solomon Islands, there was a tremendous battle. And I can't remember the name of the place where Jacob Busa was born.
Not quite through Midway.
No, it was, I can't remember now. Boy. That's my brain. Anyway, he was there, and a horrible battle. Brother Neil Morley, Brother Neil Morley was in the Marines. He was over there, and all the time he's over there, he's out here fighting and killing people. You know, Marines are there in the front. But all the time he's over there doing it, he's preaching. Neil Morley's preaching and leading people to the Lord. And one of the people he led to the Lord was Jacob Busa. If you want to look this up, his name is Jacob Busa. That's it. All right? You can look that up on the internet. All right? That's a very famous man. Jacob Busa, he was out in the bush out there, and he was a marshal or a sheriff, a native sheriff. When he was young, he was born in 1900. I think he died in 1984. But when he was young, he believed in witchcraft and demons, and he had he had demons that empowered him. And he was a very brave man, and everyone in the village was afraid of him, and all the villages around where he lived. I think it's Guadalcanal where he was born. I'm not sure, but he would go out. And he would pray to this demon, and the demon would empower him, and he never lost his man. He's like Sam Paul, my great-grandfather. When he went after somebody, he always got him. He went after him, and he got his man, and that's why Jacob Busa was. Well, in Jacob Busa, when the Marines came over there, he was a scout behind enemy lines. He would go in behind enemy lines, and he just wore a breechcloth. But in his breechcloth, he had an American flag. Because he was fighting for America. You know, he wanted that with him, you know, the strength. And not only that, but Neil Morley had led him to the Lord. And he was now a saved man. He knew the Lord. And he went behind the enemy lines, and he was captured. And if you read on the internet, you'll find the captain, the lieutenant or whatever, in the Japanese that captured him. All right? They tied him to a tree. And they took a sharp bayonet, and they would cut him. They cut his throat. They stabbed him in the stomach. They stabbed him through his arms and everything else. And they kept torturing him, trying to get him to tell where the Marines were. And he wouldn't talk. And they had him tied to this tree, and pretty soon they gave up on him, and they left him for dead. And remember, this is a special man now. This is a giant among men. Okay? Jacob Busa. He chewed through the ropes that he was tied to. He chewed through the ropes. He got loose, and went many miles through the jungle, and he went to the American forces, and he told them, they tried to give him medical treatment. He would not accept any medical treatment until he told them that there was how many Japanese were coming, and he saved hundreds of lives, thousands of lives by doing this. And he took to give him 16 pints of blood. 16 pints of blood that they gave him. He was almost dead, all right? But that's Jacob Busa. And he came, now this is, after this, now this is, he was in the war over there. He, and I think it wasn't, in 30 days he was back being a scout behind enemy lines again. And when he, when the war was over, Guadalcanal, I believe, is where it was. That's where he was born. Anyway, he came back to America, and he came over here to Neil Morley, and I met this man, and I met Jacob Busa. And meanwhile, the Queen of England knighted him. He was Sir Jacob Busa with all the stuff, and he was in part of the government over there and everything. He came over here, and he asked Neil Morley, he said, brother, I want you to come back to my country and build churches. And I can't remember how many churches that they built out there in the Solomon Islands, but it was like 130 or 160 churches that they built over there. And they built churches. They didn't build missions. And every church that they built, they ordained pastors. They taught them. And some of the things that they did, I gave them that doctrines of the Bible that I have. And I know that they were teaching a lot of them on the basic doctrines of the Bible. And they would teach these, and then they would turn them loose on the natives. No matter what happened. They would have, I mean, there's revolutions, they've had storms, they've had all kinds of difficulties over there, but they always had churches, and the churches trained their pastors, and their pastors would go from island to island. So there's your little story about a giant of a man. And that Neil Morley is a giant of a man, too. The way he was when he went over there in the Solomon Islands and went back and built churches there, and his son-in-law and his daughter still go back over there. Neil can't go there anymore. He's too old. He's probably 90-something, I think. But he's still alive. I've been going to call him on the phone and say hi to him. And I still appreciate what he's doing over there. All right, let's go now to the book of Genesis. And Joanne was reading. All right, 6 and verse 1, Sister Joanne.
When the human population began to grow rapidly on the earth, the sons of God saw the beautiful women of the human race and took any they wanted as their wives.
All right, can go on a little further. That's a good.
The Lord said, "My spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, they will live no more than 120 years."
All right. Now, what happened there that the 120 years, now they got that a little bit wrong. I've heard a lot of people like that say that, because the people would only live 120 years. But the 120 years is when Noah was building the ark. The 120 years that Noah built the ark. All right. Now, mankind, before the flood, some of them lived 700, 600, 700, 800 years, 900 years. Okay? But now, they're only going to live 120 more years, and God's going to cut them off. Just like that. In Hebrew, it tells you that. He's going to cut them off. That's it. These people are bad. And keep on. Now, read on a little bit further. I like that translation. They missed the boat on that one, but they did fine.
In those days, and even afterwards, giants lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God had intercourse with human women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes mentioned in legends of old.
All right, there you go. Now, whoever translated that that translation went from the Hebrew rabbinical writings. All right, because that's what they believe. The Book of Enoch. How many of you read the Book of Enoch? Tells you the same thing. All right, same thing. Now, these people, if you read about them in the Bible, now the Bible only just throws a little piece out here and a little piece out there. That's all it does. All right. It just gives you a little piece here and a little piece there. Now it said they lived upon the earth, the Nephilim, the fallen ones. That read back where it says that, Joanne.
In those days and even afterwards, giants.
Okay, hold on right there. In those days, right then, that's over here, okay, before the flood. In those days before the flood, okay, there were Nephilim. All right. And then it says, and what?
In those days, even afterwards, giants lived on the earth.
Even afterwards, right over here, giants lived in the earth. All right? In those days and even afterward, giants lived in the earth. And what does it say there, Beth?
For whenever the sons of God had intercourse with human women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes of mentions and legends of old.
All right, that's it. Now, we meet one here. David meets one. David meets one of them. Now, let's go back and look in the Bible some places where it talks about these. I've never taught a lesson on this before. So before I croak, I'm going to do it right now. Now, we're talking about over here is when it happened. Now, the rabbis teach, okay? The rabbis teach that over here on this side of the flood, before Noah, that the angels had intercourse with human women and they brought forth these giants. Now, before the flood, could man eat any kind of flesh?
No.
No. They weren't given any flesh to eat. But it says that these giants, these Nephilim, were killing and eating animals. And the book of Enoch said they were depopulating the earth from the animal life. They were eating them and drinking their blood like vampires. They drank their blood. They would just suck the blood out of them like a weasel or something. Okay? And that's not all, that they started eating humans. They began to be cannibals. They were eating humans. All right? So they were eating the animals, and that God didn't give them the animals to eat, and they were eating humans. And they were depopulating the earth. And so God says, they are flesh and blood, all right, but I'm going to give them 120 years. And Noah built that boat in that 120 years, and then the flood came, and God... Now, if God would have left the earth like that with these Nephilim on the earth at that period of time, the earth would have been completely depopulated of animals and humans. Because they would have eaten them all. Okay? So God brought judgment. God brought judgment right there. The judgment was a flood. Now, we find out afterwards, every time the angels had intercourse with women, now who is the Antichrist going to be? Jesus Christ, did God bring John 1:14? Jehovah became flesh. How did Jehovah become flesh? He picked out a woman, Mary, all right, of the right lineage. And God put in her the seed of Himself, which is Jesus Christ, Jehovah. Jehovah means He who shall become, all right? And He did become, all right? And He brought forth this. We find out in the end times from the book of Revelation and Daniel and many other places in the Bible that there is going to be an Antichrist. Now, we had a preview of that in Antiochus Epiphanes when he went into the temple area, and that's when the Maccabees, first and second Maccabees, that's what they wrote, where they finally rested from Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus Epiphanes had... gone into the Holy of Holies there and had offered human sacrifices and animal sacrifices. And the blood, they said, ran for all the way from the temple area all the way down the Kidron Valley. Blood. People. He had killed so many Jews and so many swine he offered on the altar. That's an abomination to offer swine on the altar. Well, back over here now on this side, it said, and afterwards. Now, here we have Abraham right here, don't we? Right here. Right where it says the promise. We have Abraham. Now, we're studying that. We're past Abraham. And then there was a promise. Then Abraham's children, Jacob's children, were taken into Egypt, weren't they? Well, all the time that Jacob's children are in Egypt, in the land of Canaan, are these Nephilim. A few Nephilim and a lot of Canaanites, what we call Canaanites. And Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And one of Ham's sons was Canaan. That's where the Canaanites came from. Some of those Canaanites over there evidently crossed up with these giants. All right? And now, they were called Anakim. Now, when Joshua came into the land after the Egyptian bondage, you know, God said He was going to let their iniquity build up until it was over with, and then He was going to go in there and take it away from them. And God told them to go in there. He told Saul to what? Kill every one of them. Kill all their animals. Kill all the animals. All their dogs. All their horses. All their cows. Every man, woman, and child. Because they were infected with disease. And they also had this hybrid culture in them. Alright? Well, he didn't do it, did he? Alright? Well, Joshua went in there and Caleb went in. Remember when the 12 spies went in? We've already covered this. They went over there around Hebron, which basically is Hebron is one of the oldest cities in the world. And that's where the Cave of Machpelah is, isn't it? Alright? And where is the Cave of Machpelah? And that is the oldest piece of real estate. There's a record of when Abraham bought that from those people. Well, in the meanwhile, while Israel was in Egypt, there was a bunch of Anakim up there, and right in that area around Hebron were giants. Giants. And remember when the Hebrew spies went in there, they went up there and they said, oh, we're like grasshoppers and they're big and they're powerful. And Joshua and Caleb says, it's a good land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Remember when they brought home the great big clutches of grapes and stuff in there? All of that thing was in the land. And all of these 10 spies brought a bad report and they were afraid. But Joshua and Caleb says, give us that mountain. Give us Hebron. We'll go take the giants on. But later on, they did, didn't they? They were the only ones that went into the land after that 40 years in the wilderness. He wouldn't let them go in. But they went in and they took this land.
They're like 80 years old now.
Yeah. But then, there were all these rascals in there. There were still some Nephilim in the land. Now let's look in places in the Bible where these Nephilim are. Okay? Deuteronomy 1.28. Deuteronomy 2.10, 2.11, 2.21. All right, somebody go to the second book in Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second what? The second law. Okay? Deuteronomy, second law. Deuteronomy 1.28. We're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to tie some of this together. Joseph, you got your Bible in your hand? You got a Bible? Well, you got one. All right. Are you there?
Yeah.
You're right. Let's read that. Deuteronomy 1.28. Joseph. Deuteronomy 1.28. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Okay? 1.28. Joseph, read that real loud for me. 1.28.
Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities we greet, we great and walked up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim.
All right, they were afraid of these sons of Anakim. All right, the sons of Anakim. This is the Anakim. These are the giants. Okay? Now, Deuteronomy 2.10. Are you over there, Bonnie, or David, or?
Amen. Lived there formerly a people as great, numerous, and tall as the Anakim.
All right. Verse 11.
Like the Anakim, they are also regarded as Rephaim?
Rephaim.
But the Moabites call them Emim.
Okay. Emim. All right. The Raphael, that means fearful ones. Fearful ones. All right, that's what Raphael or Rapham means. Fearful ones. Mighty fearful ones. All right. 221 now. 221. Sister Andino, are you over there?
A people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim,
but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they dispossessed them and dwelt in their place.
All right. 3:11 now. 3:11 through 13. Now we're talking about giants now. We're talking about giants. Brother Rex, are you over there in 3:11? Deuteronomy 3:11? All right.
For only Og, king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaim,
the fearful one.
Before his dead, behold, his bedstead was a lion, bedstead he is in the bar, the bones of Ammon.
Mm-hmm.
Its length was 9 cubits, and its width 4 cubits by ordinary cubits.
That's a big bed, people. Yeah, 9 cubits. 9 times what?
18.
That's 18 feet?
18 to 24, they say. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. That's a big bed, people.
18.
That's a little bit bigger than Joseph Smith's bed, wasn't it? Little short guy. I think his bed was 5 foot long. But this is a big 18-foot bed or so. This is a big guy, people. Big man. This is a giant. His name was what? Og.
Yes.
Og. All right. And you got through 13 now? Have you gone almost through 13?
Want to read 12? 12 and 13. Okay. So we took possession of this land at that time from Arur, which is by the valley of Arnon, and half the hill country of Gilead, and its cities, and I gave the Reubenites, and I gave to the Reubenites and to the Gadites the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, the kingdom of Og, I gave to the half tribe of Manasseh. All the region of Argob, concerning all Bashan, it is called the land of Rephaim.
Okay, the land of the fearful ones. Okay.
Now, if the women were, men were that tall, the women must have been pretty close.
Amazons, huh? All right, did we go to 221 already? 221? We got 221? Okay, 9 and verse 2. 9 and verse 2. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 2. And then we're going to go to the book of Joshua. Joshua. All right. You don't want to quit today, do you? Brother John, 9 and 2.
I don't want to quit yet. For thank you in late, though. A people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know, and of whom you heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak.
Yeah. All right. These are big people. These are giants now. Gigantes. We got our name, we get our word gigantic from the Greek word gigantes. Hey, gigantes, the giants, the Nephilim. All right? The Nephilim. Joshua, the 11th chapter. Joshua, the 11th chapter. Book of Joshua. All right? Are you over there, Luis?
Yes.
Joshua 11 and 21 and 22.
Joshua came in the time of the cut of Anakim from the hill country, from Hebron, from Debir.
See there?
From Anab.
Who did Joshua want? He wanted the giants when he went into the land. Let me have them. I'll kill them. He's 80 years old. He went after the giants.
And from the hill country of Judea, and from all the hill country of Israel, with their cities, said Joshua devote them to destruction.
All right. 14 and verse 12. 14, Joshua 14.
I got it.
You got it? All right.
Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord's faint in that day.
That's right. Give me this mountain where the giants are, old Joshua and Caleb.
When thou heardest in the day how the Achaeans were there, and that the cities were great and fenced.
Through verse 15.
And if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him. And gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, or Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, unto the day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel.
All right, the Lord Jehovah. What does it say there, brother? And what about the Lord God of Israel? Jehovah?
Yes, Jehovah.
Jehovah Elohim, or Elohim.
Elohim.
Yeah.
Which chapter was that?
That is Joshua, 14:12-15.
14:12-15. Oh, I get the last one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war.
All right. So Joshua and Caleb wanted his land. He said, "Give me that mountain where these giants are. I'll take care of it." Because he believed in God. He followed God. And he went after giants. He went after Goliaths. Big people. Big people. That's just like David did later. A little old boy, a little adolescent boy, went after a 9'4" giant. That helmet weighed 141 pounds. That the tip of his spear was 17 pounds. Man, he went after him. Well, let's go look at another one here, and then I'm going to turn you loose on the world, okay? Shirley, are you over there at Joshua 12? 12 and verse 4. Joshua 12, you're not there? Joshua 12 and verse 4. Brother John?
The other king was Og, king of Bashan, and his territory. So was of the remnant of the giants who dwelt in Ashtaroth and at Edrei.
All right, Ashtaroth. Remember we see that? That was one of their gods, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. And then 13 and verse 12.
And the kingdom of Og in Bashan was reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants. For Moses had defeated and cast out there these. What? Moses had defeated and cast out these.
Okay. 13, 12. 17 and verse 15.
Which one?
17 and verse 15. Joshua 17 and verse 15.
So Joshua answered them, "If you are a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourselves there in the land of the Hezrites and the giants, since the mountain of Ephraim are too confined for you."
All right. We have the word. How many of you knew that there was giants were referred to this many times in the Bible?
Oh, there's only one period of giants.
Huh. There's a bunch of these giants, okay? 18 and verse 16 now. Joshua 18 and verse 16. Joshua, you there, Brother John?
18:16.
Yes.
Then the border came down to the end of the mountain that lies before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the valley of the Rephaim,
yeah.
On the north, descended to the valley of Hinnom, to the side of the Jebus site, city on the south, and descended to Enrogel.
Uh-huh. All right. Now, Hinnom, the valley of the Hinnom. What is hell called? Gehenon. Valley, it said Valley of Hinnom. In Hebrew, that's Gehenon. Gehenon is what we call Gehenna. That's where, that was the place where the garbage pit was. Gehenna.
Jim,
yes.
Are these places that are mentioned here, can you find those on the...
Oh, you can look in your Bible maps and you can find these places.
You can find them?
Yes, you can find these places. All right. All right, you can find... Now, we'll finish this next week. This is previews of coming attractions, okay? Did you like this study today? We had a few interruptions and everything, but I wanted to get back to this to drop this bomb on you. How many of you knew there was that? But there's more. We're not finished yet. We're not finished with these giants yet. I could have taught a whole solid hour on the giants, but we're going to look at them a little bit more. All right. Brother David...